Great to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. I really appreciate you being here. I appreciate this young lady coming on as well. Her name is Alana Mash, Nash, I should say, and she's an author of a book about Colonel Tom Parker and his relationship with Elvis Presley. And those who watch and listen to me, Alana, know that I'm a huge Elvis fan. I have been my entire life. The only problem I have is that my hair didn't stay as nice as his, so I can't do the big bouffant and all that. How are you? Nice to meet you. Good to see you.
This is such fun to meet you and talk about Elvis with you.
Well, yeah, with the new movie coming out, I immediately said I was not going to see it. And there's a reason. It's because I'm a huge Elvis fan, and I already see that there are some issues that I have with the movie, and I want to get into all that. Let me get the exact name of the book, though. It's called The Colonel, The Extraordinary Story of Colonel Tom Parker and Elvis Presley. And you can go and get this on Amazon, get it just about anywhere you get your favorite books. The first thing that jumped out at me when I saw the trailer for this movie is Tom Hanks is doing some freaking Dutch accent or something. And I've heard Colonel Tom Parker speak at the 1972 Madison Square Garden interview, the Houston interview. You hear the colonel in the back, you know, saying whether you can or can't ask more questions. And he seems like he's putting on a Southern American drawl to me. It doesn't sound like he speaks like he's from Holland or something. Well, do you find that accent to be truthful that we hear Tom Hanks doing?
It's awful. It's so off-putting. It's so unrealistic. Actually, I knew Colonel Parker. I had three-hour meetings with him between 1992 and 1994.
Amazing.
Sorry?
I say amazing. I wish I'd have met him. Go ahead.
Yes. He was fascinating. He would only tell you what he wanted to tell you. You weren't allowed to really ask questions. If you ask him a question about Elvis, he would pretend he didn't hear it. And, of course, then foolishly you would repeat it and he'd cut you off. But his accent was kind of a mixture of Old South and what sounded actually a little bit like a speech impediment. He had trouble with R's, so he would say Mr. Presley. Wow. He had trouble with J's, like you just missed him. So, you know, once you knew that he was Dutch, you could hear it because he would, the word book to him was boek, boek.
Oh, wow.
He'd say, and if you listen to the Ted Koppel interview with him, he'd say, well, I booked him. So there were little things that once you knew, but most people had no idea. And this accent of Tom Hanks is very off-putting and kind of unfair to the colonel. I think the movie on the whole is unfair to the colonel.
Well, I didn't see the movie yet. I'm going to. You're not going to give me any spoilers because I know just about everything there is to know about Elvis. I do know that they get some things wrong on purpose, like him with some sort of a lightning bolt around his neck to really show this Captain Marvel connection. He never really did that. He never ran around with a lightning bolt around his neck. I know that many have said it's more of the story of the colonel, and it's almost Priscilla's perspective on the story of Elvis rather than it being Elvis's story. Do you find it to be that way as well or no?
Well, you know, if you know Baz Luhrmann's over the top style, then you'll know that everything is kind of this dreamscape, really, kind of this feverish jumping from cartoonish like send ups to kind of gothic and dreamlike and almost nightmarish kind of presentation. So I don't know that it's so much Priscilla's vision as Priscilla had a hand in, of course, in deciding some of the important things. What I know from someone in the inside camp is that she and Jerry Schilling said to Baz Luhrmann, don't make Elvis look stupid, because he was not stupid.
Yeah. Well, I don't blame them for saying that. It's Alana Nash. Go and get her book, The Colonel, the Extraordinary Story of Colonel Tom Parker and Elvis Presley. If you stand back, or if you're 30,000 feet up, and you only hear the story of who this guy was, he was alleged to have been a carnival barker, a guy who took 50% of Elvis's money. He was a bad guy. He was an illegal immigrant who wouldn't let Elvis go tour Europe or Asia because he couldn't get back to the United States. He was just bad news. And I get the feeling from you and from your experiences with him that that's not really who the guy was.
Well, you know, he always took too much money, but he could justify by saying Elvis was his only client and that he got deals for him that no one else could have gotten. And there's some truth to that. Fiduciary overreaching? Yes. But, you know, Elvis and Vernon, who was the business manager, didn't really mind. They knew what the colonel was doing. It wasn't that he kept it from them, but they didn't really care. I mean, he had convinced them that no one could get that kind of money for Elvis that he got. So And Elvis's idea was that as long as I have the money to do what I want to do, I don't care how much the colonel takes. Elvis was amused by the colonel in the early days. Things went bad when the movies got bad and being on stage constantly in Las Vegas. But for the early years, they had a wonderful relationship.
It is Alana Nash. Go and get her book, The Colonel, The Extraordinary Story of Colonel Tom Parker and Elvis Presley. What's interesting about the colonel is I've often thought about it, and again, for me, most of my life he's been a villain, but I'm guessing he was just a human being that took what he could get, but also presented the world with this guy. Without the colonel, whatever his real name was, and I know that it's in the movie, you probably know the real name too, but without the colonel, do we even know who Elvis Presley was, do you think?
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because I was looking back today at some of my early interviews with people like Chet Atkins, when the colonel was booking Grand Ole Opry stars.
Right.
And here's what Chet Atkins had to say. Now, Chet Atkins was a very smart guy. You know, he ran RCA. He said, "I admired the colonel. He had so much brass and know-how to promote an artist. And I think if it hadn't been for him, Elvis would have been forgotten about in a short time."
Wow.
"But it made him unavailable to the press, and it worked. Everybody wanted to see him. Everybody had to have a piece of him. He's the best I ever saw as a manager."
Isn't that something? Because, again, 50% is way too much. And eventually, later, a court said, yeah, that's way too much. You shouldn't be getting 50%. And then they settled with Priscilla and Lisa Marie after Elvis died. But having said that, I agree with what Atkins said. But I always wondered, why didn't Elvis do more late-night television after the original late-night shows that made him a small box, a television star, you know, with the young girls, the teenagers, the parents could get mad at him for shaking his hips and everything. They sort of just stopped doing all of that. Do you have any idea why? Because Ed Sullivan and Steve Allen and these guys really did give him, Milton Berle, they gave him this sort of national presence. Why stop?
That's right. Well, the colonel said, if people don't have to pay to see him, then they won't come. I mean, if they see him free, they'll just wait till he's on television.
Ah.
The colonel had a very interesting philosophy. He wanted to make sure that he could say that shows had always sold out. That's one of the reasons he kept the ticket prices so low and affordable.
And the show selling out, of course, kept on selling out and kept on selling out some more. I mean, we see some of the video from just the mid-late 50s where there's not even a place to stand in open, like open-air arenas where there are just thousands and thousands of people to see this guy sing and dance and do what he did. Right. Why do you think, and again, you said it earlier that Baz Luhrmann is a guy that does dramatize things and does it in a very artful way, but why change even a piece of Elvis's story? It's just as unique the way it stands, isn't it? I mean, why would you change the song he was singing when the colonel first saw him? Why would you change the setting? Why would you change that Robert F. Kennedy died and that's why Elvis wanted to do a certain song when it hadn't even happened yet? Why do that, do you think?
Well, I think he was tasked with putting a lot of different seminal events into a short period of time.
Yeah.
We telescoped those. But yes, for historical fans of Elvis, you're going to be really bothered by a lot that's in this film. You know, it's interesting to me that the European fans are more bothered by that even than the American fans. It's interesting, the European fans are just absolutely crazy about every single nuance and fact. I would say, I've seen it four times. I'll go back. But I had to let go of some of that to really enjoy it as a film. It's very emotional. And I've had seven men tell me that they cried when they saw that film. You know, that's success if you can reach people that deeply.
Go to the website, ColonelParker.net. It's author Alana Nash, The Colonel, The Extraordinary Story of Colonel Tom Parker and Elvis Presley. I didn't want to see it. I don't think Austin Butler looks enough like him. And the way Elvis looked was a huge part of who Elvis was.
Yes.
And Priscilla did not have anything good to say about it until she saw it. And then she said, okay, I do support it now. How bothered am I going to be, a guy who knows Elvis as the entire persona? I know that it's not him. I know exactly what the dance steps were that he did when he did Suspicious Minds in 1970. I know exactly how he sang If I Can Dream in 1968. Am I going to be really bothered, or will I forget about that as the movie goes on?
This was my fear, my exact fear. I have to say this. He has those dance moves down cold. He is extraordinary. But you're never going to forget that he's not Austin Butler. He doesn't look enough like him. But when he's on stage, The performance segments of this film are extraordinary and mesmerizing. But I'll tell you where you really... Tom Hanks is so over the top in every way. His Tom Parker looks a little bit like LBJ. And
That's actually true.
Yes, you never forget it's Tom Hanks, but there are moments when you almost forget it's Austin Butler.
Nice.
I think you'll be impressed with the performances.
Well, good. You know, it's funny because Priscilla and I tweeted back and forth the other day. I posted a picture of she and I from that event from a few years ago, and I said, I'm looking forward to seeing the movie because you said I should see it. I'm going to see it. She wrote back, please tell me what you think afterwards, and sent her best wishes. So if the family supports it, I'm okay with that. So I'm going to go and see it. It's going to be really hard for me to turn it off. What was impressive to me was that Priscilla said, like you just said, you do forget that it's Austin Butler. He does get into it so much. And the one thing that really put me over the top, Alana, and I wonder if you've seen this piece of video, Baz Luhrmann released the screen test of Austin Butler doing that That's All Right, Mama. And he does it extraordinarily. He does it very, very well. It's really him singing. It's really him playing. And I went, okay, this guy really does. At least the essence of Elvis is in this guy. Did you see that video?
I did, and I was impressed with it. And I went into this whole thing like you, thinking, oh, gosh, I don't think I want to see this, and oh, boy, this is going to be hard. I find him not very convincing in some of the straight dramatic stuff, like when Gladys dies.
Yeah.
But when he's performing, Joe, you are going to be amazed.
What I don't want, Alana, is I don't want Kurt Russell again. You know what I mean? I'm sure you've seen that movie. And I love Kurt Russell, but come on. The guy was like 5'9", and he had a dimple in his chin. And I'm like, well, who is this guy trying to pretend he's Elvis? It's Alana Nash. Go and get her book, The Colonel, The Extraordinary Story of Colonel Tom Parker and Elvis Presley. Did you talk to the Colonel about the Star is Born? Do you know why that wasn't done? Was it Elvis didn't really want to do it? Was it the Colonel pricing it too high on purpose? Was the Colonel afraid Elvis would branch out and become a movie star, a dramatic star? What was that all about? Do you know?
Well, he wouldn't talk to me about that. The only time I got him to talk to me about anything about Elvis was when I asked him why he put him in such poor films and he came from the soundtracks. And he got very angry with me. We were in the car. He and his wife had taken me on a ride into the Las Vegas desert, which I thought was a message. And he got very, very angry with me when I asked about this. And he was pounding his cane in the floorboard of the car. He was in the passenger seat. And he said, I got him the most money. You know, Elvis could choose any of those scripts that I said him. He could have said no, but he didn't say no. And I got him the most money in Vegas. I got him the most money for the pictures. He was just almost... He was so angry. I really kind of feared for my personal safety, to tell you the truth.
I'll bet. I mean, he seemed like the kind of guy that was not going to take a whole lot of guff. What's interesting about A Star is Born to me, as a fan of Elvis, I'm glad he didn't do it. And we know how the movie ends. Yeah. That's why I'm glad he didn't do it. Are you glad he didn't do it, too?
Yes, unless he would have just been extraordinary. But I think that's what Colonel was afraid of. He'd never done a film in which he looked weak.
Yeah.
And he didn't want to see Elvis look weak and defeated, particularly at that stage of his career, when things were winding down for him somewhat. So perhaps the Colonel made the right choice. I think if Elvis had really, really put his foot down and said, I want to do this, perhaps he would have been able to do it. You know, the times that Colonel did stand up to him, I mean, Elvis did stand up to the Colonel. Usually he got his own way, like, of course, with the American recordings.
Yeah, it's Alana Nash. Go and get her book right now, The Colonel, The Extraordinary Story of Colonel Tom Parker and Elvis Presley. Alana, I think you and I can agree that that Elvis was the biggest star on the planet, much because of his talent and his persona, his charisma. But without Tom Parker, it doesn't happen. So we can lay that praise on Tom Parker. Is Tom Parker the reason why Elvis died at 42, do you think?
Oh, I think it's a combination of things. And I think Elvis needed to be a stronger person to stand up both to Vernon Presley, who was in cahoots with the Colonel, and to the Colonel himself.
What's interesting is the Colonel and Vernon relationship has never really been widely explored. It's told that Vernon was looking out for his little boy, but as the business manager, he had to know everything that the Colonel was doing. So when you say they were in cahoots, you mean that, don't you?
I do mean that, yeah. Vernon always got money under the table. You know, at one point, Elvis, early in Elvis's career, he said, I'm not sure about this guy. Gladys was very unsure about the Colonel. And the Colonel would always slip Vernon money. And so finally he said to Elvis, you know, us Presleys have always been poor. Don't screw this up.
Wow.
And so Vernon always got money to influence Elvis from the Colonel and then got cut into certain deals.
I could talk to you for 2 hours. I'm going to ask you one last question about Las Vegas. That was masterful to go to Las Vegas, masterful to have that movie made about him in Las Vegas and this brand new persona. After the 68 special, to put a band together like that, to put a performance together like that, that was Elvis at his height. Even better than Elvis in 1973 in Hawaii, 1970 Elvis in that white outfit doing those songs in that way was amazing. Was it true that the Colonel really set that up because of his gambling habit and his gambling debt? Because Elvis was doing what? 2, maybe 4 shows a day some days? Doing shows like that, the way he put himself into it, was going to kill anybody eventually. Was it because of the gambling addiction that the Colonel had?
And doing shows 7 days a week. He was the first star to perform 7 days a week in Las Vegas. That was a huge part of it. The Colonel had always gambled. He'd always gambled recklessly, but it really got out of hand at the time that he took Elvis to Vegas. It was a natural career trajectory for him, particularly after those films. But the Colonel's gaming habits, as we might say today, played far too large a part in that, unfortunately.
Alana Nash, I'm glad you wrote the book. I'm glad that we share this great love for Elvis. Thank you for getting the truth out there. So would you suggest that people go see it, yes or no?
I think so, yes. And then talk about it a lot.
Yeah, and let's talk about it again on my show, if you don't mind. Get her book. It's called The Colonel, The Extraordinary Story of Colonel Tom Parker and Elvis Presley. Go to colonelparker.net. It's Alana Nash. Alana, thank you so much.
Joe, thank you.
My pleasure. We're back after this. Stay right here.